Welcome to 15 Minutes in the Word with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Psalm 23, The Lord is My Shepherd. We all have moments in life when we feel overwhelmed, times when we need direction and protection. The psalmist David experienced these feelings, yet he also knew the one who could lead him through life's dark valleys. David knew that as our good shepherd, God wants to provide for us every single day. Today, Joyce takes a deeper look at David's Psalm 23, breaking it down verse by verse, revealing the freedom we can have when we follow God's leading. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching.
James 1:21 says, "Receive the word of God with meekness, because it has the power to save your soul." Not your spirit. You can be born again and still need your soul saved. Your spirit, you've received Jesus in your spirit. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been made right with him. He's done a work in you. But if the mind is still messed up and the will is still messed up and the emotions are still messed up, then even though I may go to heaven someday in the sweet by and by, I'm going to have a miserable journey while I'm here, and I'm not going to be very fruitful in God's kingdom for him to use me in anything to help anybody else. And let me tell you something, if your mind is messed up, you're not going to have any peace. If we're constantly resisting everything that God wants us to do, then we're not going to have any peace. And I don't know if you've figured it out yet or not, but I've come to the conclusion I don't think life is even worth living if we're not going to have peace. Nothing is worse than being upset and frustrated all the time about something. So these areas of our life, mind, will, and emotions, they must be healed. They must be restored to their proper place, which is a backseat in decision-making. Amen? And this requires mega doses. Healing in our life requires two things. Well, the Word of God. Well, let's say three things. The Word of God, the mega doses of the unconditional love of God. It's the love of God and knowing that God loves you right where you're at, and that, I mean, to be honest, God's not going to love you any more when you get your mind renewed than he does right now. He's not going to love you anymore if you become more obedient than he does right now. You say, well, then why should I do it? Well, because we're not doing what we're doing to get God to love us. We want to do what we do because we love him and we want to please him and live for his glory. We have to stop doing everything that we do to get something. We want to serve God because he's wonderful, because he's awesome, and he's amazing. You don't even have to have an excuse to like come to something like this conference. Just come and set apart that time with God just because he's awesome. He's just, wow, God, you're amazing. Where would I be without you? What a privilege just to sit in a room full of other believing people and worship you and hear something that's going to cheer me up a little bit. I can promise you, you'll get enough bad news when you go back out the door. You might as well get all the good news you can get while you're in here. So it requires the Word of God and the unconditional love of God. But another thing that this maturing process requires is correction. Thank you for your tremendous response. I cannot tell you how excited I am about that. My gosh, I felt like everybody just died or something. Like. All right, Hebrews 12, 6 and 7. You know, your reaction won't stop me, so you might as well react good. Hebrews 12, 6 and 7. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone that he loves. You know, interestingly enough, most people in prison will tell you that their parents either corrected them violently, which is not God's way, or they never corrected them at all. It's interesting, if we are without correction, then it makes us feel that nobody cares about us. I know we all think that we don't want to be corrected, but actually the truth is we do want right correction. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves, and he punishes, even scourges, every son whom he accepts and welcomes to his heart and cherishes. You must submit to and endure correction for discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not thus train and correct and discipline? Now, if you are exempt from correction and left without discipline, in which all of God's children share, then you're illegitimate offspring and not true sons at all. So just to practice, even if you got to say it by faith, everybody say, I love God's correction. You know what? The worst thing in the world that could ever happen to us would be for God to leave us alone in the mess that we're in and to never, ever change. That would be terrible. You know, to be honest, if I'm going about my day and all of a sudden I'm starting to do something that I've forgotten I shouldn't do, and the Holy Spirit quickly reminds me that attitude's not good. You know, I don't have to go, oh boy, here I go again. Something wrong with me. Every time I turn around, it's always me, you know. And that's the way I was when I was more of a baby, more carnal Christian. Not that I don't still have a long way to go, but, you know, now I would see that like, oh man, God, thank you that you're paying that much attention to me, that you recognize every time I'm even about to have a bad attitude, and you take your time from running the world. I mean, isn't that amazing that God takes his time from running the world just to say to you, you got a bad attitude that's going to get you in trouble. Come on, sweetie, let's change it before you get in trouble. To me, that's awesome. It's like, wow, God cares that much about me. And surely I can then submit to that and have a good attitude and say, thank you, God, that you care enough about me to remind me before I get in trouble that I'm about to get in trouble. And this is our whole relationship with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus ascended on high, he sent the Holy Spirit to represent him and take his place. And he said, I will never leave you. I've been with you. No, I will come to live in you, and I will be there to help you in every single thing in your life. But you got to listen to me. You need to listen to me. And it really just gets to be a lot of fun. Somebody's not sure yet. Okay, well, we'll get there. Revelation 3:19. See, we get too defensive when God shows us things about ourselves. It's like, oh, another thing wrong with me. Can't do anything right. Well, what about them? You know. Yeah. Listen, I remember well God dealing with me about so many, many, many things, and I got so tired of it. I just thought, my God, can any human being have this much wrong with them? Anybody know what I mean? It's like, can anybody have... I mean, I don't care what the message was, I needed it. It was like... I mean, I couldn't turn to a scripture that I didn't need. It was like, I needed it all, And I remember one time I was so tired of God dealing with me about stuff. And I remember going to Dave because I'm thinking, well, Dave's got problems. I mean, he's got problems that I don't ever hear him saying anything about God's dealing with me. And so I asked him, I said, is God dealing with you about anything? And he said, no, I don't think so. And oh, I got so upset with God. It's like, what is with this? But you know what I heard in my spirit? You've asked me for a lot, Joyce. Do you want it or not? Come on, what are you asking God to do in your life? Have you asked God to let you do great things? Well, then there's going to have to be great change and great submission, a willingness to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. If we want to have God's best in our life, then we've got to be willing to give God our best, and that means give him our all. Amen? I'm really just, for the sake of people, I'm just tired of all the compromise. We can't live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Well, one of the prophets said, how long are you going to halt and limp between two opinions? If God is God, then serve him. And if Baal's God, then serve him. So if God's got our answers, then let's get fully on board. And if the world's got our answers, then go ahead and go with the world, but I've already tried that, and I've decided that God's the way to go. Amen. I kind of like the reputation that I've got. You know, some people think I'm the crazy lady on TV, and but I get some interesting things when I'm out. People say, "Oh, you're that Bible lady, aren't you?" And I mean, secretly, I'm like, "Yeah, that's me. I want to base my life on the Word of God. I'm proud of taking a stand for God." Amen. You think I don't know when I'm out in public that people don't? You know what? We need to make the name of Jesus famous. Yeah. Amen? That's the Jesus lady. You need to be the Jesus person at work. Amen? And I'm sure many of you are. We got a lot of wonderful people in the body of Christ that are doing some amazing, amazing things. Revelation 3:19. Those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults. I convict and convince and reprove. I chasten, I discipline, I instruct them. So be enthusiastic and in earnest and burning with zeal. Look, I'm only telling you what's wrong with you because I love you. So get excited about it. And then repent, change your mind. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Wow. You know, let's just don't pray that prayer out of some kind of habitual, you know, the Lord's Prayer, just, "Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, kingdom come, your will be done in earth." You know, just, we need to think about what we're saying. Matthew 26:39 says, "And going a little further, he threw himself upon the ground on his face and prayed." You know, when Jesus threw himself on the ground on his face and prayed, he was praying out of great agony of soul. He was making a decision that was gut-wrenchingly hard to make. "If it's possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not what I want, but your will be done." Okay, so let me just go for it for a minute. You know what? You don't get to leave a marriage just because you want to. Really? Well, somebody needs to say it. We need to get back on track, you know? It's like, I mean, man, how about what if God took the attitude with us that we take with people? You guys, I'm giving this 3 months. And if you're still this way in 3 months, I'm out of here.
Thanks for listening. No matter our life circumstances, we do not have to walk through them alone. Let's learn to trust the Lord, and instead of trying to be in control, we need to allow God to be our shepherd. Remember, He wants to guide us every day. As we trust Him with each step we take, we can know that God is leading us to victory. A victory and blessing that He promises everyone, eternal life with Him. For more resources from Joyce, visit joycemeyer.org.
Well, I hope that you feel that I'm a partner in your life by teaching you the Word of God. And I'm asking you to partner with me in helping us continue reaching out not only to you through this program, but to so many people around the world that still don't know Jesus. Together, we can do so much more than what we can do by ourselves. So please, become a brand new partner with us today.
To join us in partnership right now, go to joycemeyer.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to 15 Minutes in the Word with Joyce.